Appreciate that number. If you would, take your Bibles and go with me to the book of Matthew. Again, we'll rehearse just a little bit from this morning and then flow into the message for tonight. I trust that it's been a help to you as we've looked at a number of different aspects of the last week of the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Last Sunday morning, again, prophetically, the Lord told the disciples, Matthew chapter 16, Matthew chapter 17, Matthew chapter 20, I will go to Jerusalem, I will be betrayed, I will be turned over to the Gentiles, I'll be crucified, but I will rise again. We have the time in the upper room. The Lord is there with the 12 during the last Passover feast that he would celebrate. The Bible then says that Satan put it within the heart of Judas Iscariot to betray the Lord. And so he departs from the believing apostles, and he goes, he finds the chief priests, he betrays the Lord Jesus Christ. We looked at that last Sunday night. Then Wednesday night, there in the garden, and some tremendous truth in the garden. If you were not able to be in the service Wednesday night, let me encourage you, maybe go on to Sermon Audio. It's an app that you can have for your phone, or you can go online, and most of the messages will find their way there on a brief period of time after they're preached. Let me encourage you, there's a necessity of the garden for every believer. And so if you're ministering in some area here at FBT on Wednesday nights and you're not able to be in the service Wednesday night, I believe there's some great help in that message. Then this morning, of course, the triumphant act of the Lord. And he rises from the grave. And though many would try to stop it, though many would try to keep it from being spread and from us rejoicing in what Jesus Christ has done, we know that he is alive. He is risen indeed. And so we come to this phrase right now and we say, okay, now what? All of this is great. This information is beneficial. I'm glad to know these facts. But how does this affect you and affect me? And what an appropriate week to now transition from the resurrection of Christ into our missions conference. And so I desire to start here in Matthew chapter 28, if that's where you are, Matthew chapter 28. Beginning of the chapter, the Bible says that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. He is not here. He is risen, just as he said. We find that here in chapter 28. And we go to the last part of the chapter, and we transition to the answer to the question, now what? What is there for us in light of what has happened? The Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you alway, even until the end of the world. Amen. So this is the commission that the Lord gives to his church, that we might go out and spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Now, I want to take our text tonight from 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you would flip over there and want to again, answer that thought, now what? As we transition to missions conference and we consider the follow-up to what Jesus Christ has done in his death, burial, and resurrection, he commissions the local church to spread the truth of Jesus Christ. So we are to be duplicating ourselves all over the world. It is our desire, or it should be our desire, that there be an FBT planted in every county, in every city, in every country, on every continent around the globe. We cannot rest until we know that the gospel has been spread. Now, if I was a part of a church that I didn't desire to see duplicated, I'd change churches. But I believe that what we're doing here is worthwhile, and I believe it ought to be duplicated. Now, I wish people wouldn't duplicate my errors and my failures as a pastor or our failures as a church, but I tell you, our thrust and our desire to see the gospel spread around the world should be the heartbeat of every local church. And so reproduction is good for a local church. Do you know that there are churches around this country and around the globe that have never produced one other church. And that's a shame. That's a great shame. We ought to have vision as to what God would do, and praise the Lord that so many have been sent out of this place. It was the burden of our founder, Dr. Calvert, and the burden of others that have carried on to see this place duplicated and to see missions spread around the globe. And praise the Lord, we will even celebrate what God is doing, not only here in this country, but what He's doing around the world through the missionaries who will join us for the coming week. As we answer this question, though, the now what, we come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want you to see three simple things tonight. Number one, our foundation. Number two, our focus. And number three, the fruit. Here's our foundation. The Apostle Paul writes to the church at Corinth, and he says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." So this is our foundation. Here is the foundational truth that separates what we believe from every other religion. Here it is. It's right here. "By which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." Many other men and women throughout human history have developed their own religions, but they've not died for their followership. They've not sacrificed themselves on behalf of all the others that would follow in their name. Jesus Christ came and gave Himself. The Bible says, "I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that He was buried, and that He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." This is the foundation. This is where we find our rock, our sustenance, the Lord Jesus Christ and His finished work on the cross of Calvary. The Bible then goes on, verse number 5, "And that He was seen of Cephas," that's Peter, "then of the 12, after that He was seen of above 500 brethren at once." We spoke about that this morning. It's possible that you'd have a couple of foggy eyewitnesses at an accident, but here are 500 people that saw the Lord Jesus Christ at one time. And they gave testament to the fact that Jesus had risen from the dead. "Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep." Yes, some had gone on, but most were still alive. "After that He was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And last of all He was seen of me also, as one born out of due time." The Apostle Paul was personally trained by the Lord Jesus Christ. He saw the risen Savior after his conversion. Verse number 9. "For I am the least of the apostles, that am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Therefore, okay, look at this key verse here at the end of these details concerning our foundation. Here is our focus. "Therefore, whether it were I," the Apostle Paul, "or they," these other eyewitnesses, "so we preach, and so ye believed." This is what it's about. The now what? When we ask ourselves, okay, where do I go from here? What is the answer to the, okay, now what? Well, each year we have what is called a Faith Promise Missions Conference. And it is our desire through that Faith Promise Missions Conference to bring in a speaker that will challenge us individually concerning the need of reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ. So he'll preach Monday or Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night. He'll preach again Sunday morning and Sunday night. And then we'll have missionaries that will tell of what God is either desiring to do in some countries that they're headed to, or they'll tell of what God is actually doing in some countries in which they're already serving. I've personally been able to be with a number of the missionaries that are joining us for this conference. It is a tremendous avenue of change in your heart when you've been with the missionary that then comes to tell you what God's doing on the field. I will always seek to encourage our church family. If it as much as lieth within you, take a missions trip and see what God is doing around the world. One of our missionaries, Brother Bruce Rice, he and his wife and their daughter will join us on Friday night. They have been in the country of the Philippines, serving on the island of Mindanao, one of the larger islands in the Philippine country. And they've been in three different cities. They served in Cagayan de Oro. Then they went to another city, Dipolog City. And now they're transitioning to a third place to begin another work. And God is doing some wonderful things. We've had the opportunity here at FBT to partner with the Rices for almost three decades now as they've carried the gospel to the country of the Philippines. Oh, it'll stir your heart to hear of the sweet people that have trusted Christ, the churches that have been planted, the schools that have been established, the young people that are being trained for the work of the Lord. And he just has a wonderful vision to see the Filipino people know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. I met Nathan Ring almost 20 years ago. It was October of 1999, and I first met the Ring family, Mike and Tammy Ring, and all their young kids at that time, 20 years ago, serving on the field, planting a church outside of Porto Alegre, Brazil. It's interesting that of the Ring family, Nathan is serving back in Brazil. Natalie and her husband are serving in the South Pacific. Noelle just came to be with us, and her husband are headed to a different portion of Brazil. Their son Nicholas desires to go back to Brazil and be somewhat of an itinerant evangelist in the country of Brazil because he's a Brazilian citizen. And then their youngest daughter, Nikayla, is a freshman in Bible college back here in the States right now. And I tell you what, from meeting them in 1999, it has been a joy for my wife and I to watch these kids grow up, to not only love the Lord, love their parents, but have a tremendous burden to reach people for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm excited for you to hear from Nathan and Sarah and what God is doing through them. Talk to any one of the 10 or so men that went out to Missouri to be with the Kiefers. And we spent a week laboring alongside of Brother Jim and Miss Tammy Kiefer. And all of us have such full hearts for what God is doing through the Kiefers in that wonderful Midwestern town there in Missouri. And how God has uniquely equipped Brother Jim to take the gospel back to the area in which he grew up. And I tell you what, it'll stir your heart when you see the sweet people that have trusted Christ as their Savior. And you learn of the investment that FBT made that we might send him to that place to raise this work up. This is just but a glimpse of the opportunity that we have ahead for us in this coming week. Why? Because this is our focus. We preach that others might believe. Well, how does this whole process take place then? How does this process take place? I don't intend to put on airs as though I'm a missions speaker, because the guys that come in do such a wonderful job and have messages that are fully prepared to challenge us in missions. But I know that there are three things that are normally said at some point in time in a missions conference. Number one, they'll say something like this: we all need to pray. And surely that ought to be our heart's desire. I know so many of you come in week after week after week, and you'll come in and get missionary prayer letters because you've taken sections of our missionary family and you're praying for them, and you receive the letters, read through those letters, and invest yourself that you might pray for these missionaries that are serving around the world. Never, never, never take those prayers for granted. We have no idea but what God is doing around the world. At any given time, a missionary stands in need of a visa, and they're begging God to work through the hearts of government officials that they might stay in a country. At another given time, somebody that is renting a piece of property, and they find out that the lease has been pulled, and a church has to find another place to rent. We find that there are dangers physically, there are oppressions spiritually. It's almost on a weekly basis that we get a letter from a missionary that says, for this reason or that reason, I'm having to come off the field. In a given year, we'll lose between 15 and 20 missionary families from our missionary corps that's serving around the world. Sometimes they pass from this life because they've given themselves and they're 85 and they go home to be with the Lord for natural causes. Sometimes it's because of difficult circumstances, such as the one we've been praying for on Wednesday night, where the missionary had not been on the field for that long and the husband was tragically shot in a complete random accident. Sometimes it's moral failure. I have in one of my Bibles a letter that I received from a missionary that was serving in a country, and this is probably a decade or so ago, and he had to send out a letter to all of his supporting churches speaking of moral failure in his life. So there's a lot of different reasons why it behooves us to be prayer warriors on their behalf. I know at given times we'll say something like this. We'll say, "And Lord, bless all the missionaries." But I tell you what, if you have the opportunity to go and see some of these fields and to ride with them one time in a vehicle in their chosen place of service, you'll be a better prayer warrior. When you go and stand in line for hour upon hour upon hour just to cash a check at a bank, you'll begin to pray more effectively and fervently for that missionary. When you see the oppression of worldwide religions and their hatred of Christianity, and how governments are now kind of closing in the ranks that they might, in a kind way, expel the gospel from their nations, I tell you, it behooves all of us to be praying. When you hear stories such as what just came on one missionary family that we support in Toronto, Canada, they were down here in this area just a few months back, and they were ministering up, I believe, at Community Baptist with Pastor Elstock and his family. And after the services that night, there was a terrible ice storm. And in transition, their car was totaled. Again, what are they doing? Well, they're seeking to raise support. They're communicating with churches that are supporting them. And I think to myself, how many hundreds of thousands of miles do missionaries travel? And we can never take for granted the fact that we have prayer warriors back, not knowing their circumstances, that are saying, "Lord, you know exactly where they are. You know what they're facing, and please watch over and protect them today." I've watched many missionaries that have given themselves wholly to the field, and then they've watched their own children grow up to hate God. I don't know if anything breaks my heart more than that. And we've seen it on many occasions. They come back and they testify and they say, "Well, there's great things going on the field, but would you pray for my son or pray for my daughter? They're no longer following after the things of Christ." Church family, we have much to pray about. Please, this week, as you speak with the missionaries, don't miss an opportunity to, number one, pick up their prayer card and keep those prayer cards nearby for your family. Keep them on the forefront of your mind, and don't miss an opportunity that you come by them or interact, whether it's the meals or Sunday school classes or it's the fellowships after the services or talking with them at their tables, to go by and say, "Hey, what are some specific things that we can pray for?" I think to myself, with Nathan and Sarah Ring, to go back to them, they've got 6 children. Now, I'm sure that when they're back in Brazil and life is pretty consistent, it's not too bad because they're coming and going and they're living a normal life, but I'm sure it's a lot different when you're back in the States on furlough and you're toting all of that stuff around. Mom's trying to school those that are in school, trying to keep those occupied that are not in school. Please, church family, we have much to pray for. I could go much, much further on that, but it is something that we can all do. The second matter that is before us is the nature of our giving as it relates to faith promise missions giving. It's not my intentions tonight to go fully into an understanding of what is faith promise missions, but let me just simply say That next Sunday, we will give out a card. It'll be slightly bigger than this. This is my part from this past year. And in my part from this past year, the card will say something like this: your faith promise commitment is your offering given by faith above your tithe to support worldwide missions. And then you'll make an amount there. And I pray right now that you will be praying about what God would have you and your family to do for the coming year, because I believe we all ought to give. Now, some might say, well, I give my tithe, and some might say, well, I give this or that, but I believe we have an obligation to give above our tithes and offerings. And as the Bible details it in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9, the Bible makes a clear statement that God loves a cheerful giver. I don't want to give it grudgingly. I don't want to give it with an attitude. I want to interact with these missionaries, and I want their faces on my mind every time that I write that check and I say, hey, God, will you direct these funds to the place of greatest usefulness for your honor and glory? It's a commitment that you make before Almighty God. We don't collect the cards and your names and everything. I mean, we collect the cards, but they don't have your names on them and everything like that. It's between you and the Lord. Please know tonight that when we collect these cards, it's not about equal giving. I will never come before the church congregation and say, okay, everyone write down X amount of dollars on the card. I won't do that. But I will ask that our entire congregation step out on faith and that we have equal sacrifice. For some, sacrifice might be $5 a week. For some, sacrifice might be $10 a week, $50 a week. For some, a sacrifice might be $200 or $300 a week. I don't know where you'll fall in that, but I pray that you will step out on faith and sacrifice, because I believe that we all ought to give. My wife and I have been involved in missions conferences from the time that we were married. We've walked this path together. We just figured out that this is our 20th year. The first missions conference that we had at our church in Tennessee was in 1999. And so this is going into our 20th year of doing missions conferences and being active in them. And every single one of those years, we've made a faith promise commitment to God. And you know what? As you can see, I haven't starved yet. I don't even know if I've had to sacrifice any Cokes or Mountain Dews in order to make my faith promise. Maybe you're saying right now, well, Pastor, maybe you should sacrifice a few of those. I understand. I've shared this illustration many times, and perhaps here as well. When I came back from a trip to Africa, we showed the video, and a gentleman came up to me after the service, and he made this statement: I have never given anything to missions, but based upon the video you showed this morning from your last trip, I'm going to start this year and I'm going to give $5 a week. And you know what? My heart was full and I rejoice. Because that's exactly what should happen. We should all just say, Lord, what should be my part? And what can I do to participate in reaching the world for the Lord Jesus Christ? I believe we can all pray. I believe we can all give. The Bible says that we have this obligation to preach. Again, it's the truth of Jesus Christ. It's His resurrection power. We preach that others might believe. We can all pray, and I hope your heart will be burdened to pray. I hope that your heart will be burdened to give. By the way, in our family, my wife and I make a commitment to the Lord, but each of our boys also make a commitment to the Lord. If your children have some avenue by which they're earning funding, perhaps you give them commissions every week or what's known as allowance, and they would say, okay, by grace through faith, I'm going to trust Christ, and I'm going to give a dime every week. Boy, challenge your child. Step out. You say, well, Pastor, it's just a dime. Yes, and the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who recognized the widow with the two mites. We ought to all pray. We ought to all give. And then here's the one that's a little bit different than we normally hear. We ought to all go. What? No, Pastor, you've got it wrong. I've heard preaching on missions all my life, and when they get to the final one, they always say, and some will go. But the truth of the matter is, We all have a responsibility to be going around the corner and around the world. It's not right for us to pay funding and monies to missionaries to go to the foreign soil if we're not willing to go across the street and to give an invitation and to tell them, hey, I have the answer for your eternal life. Now let's separate this out. And let me give a big word of encouragement and thanks to our church family this morning. So many of you invested yourselves to have people here in the service. From the youngest in our churches to or in our church to the oldest, we had so many that said, Pastor, I brought this friend with me today, and man, my heart's full to see those people come. We had many out on visitation yesterday. We had others that went out on Gospel Blitz on Wednesday night. We had others that went out last Saturday and last Thursday night. And it is just, it warms my heart to see the volume of people that will go. But I tell you, some have said, hey, here's my relative. Here's my coworker. I've been with them and you brought them here. Listen, that's all of us going. That's shedding the light of the glorious gospel on the people that stand in desperate need. Say, well, I'm not a preacher. Okay, you may not be the one preaching, but you're doing so much of the footwork by getting them under the sound of the gospel. It would not be right for me to say to Matthew and Sarah, Matthew, Sarah, here's $50, take the gospel to Brazil, and then for me to sit on my laurels and to not do anything back here in this area, knowing full well that there are millions of people close by that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, when you're one of those people that will take the gospel across the street and you get active and you're involved, you know what sometimes happens? God says, hey, you see those individuals? Set them apart for the ministry. One of the things that we have the privilege to do this Saturday is to be able to participate in an ordination for two of our young men. Brother Kyle Spatz will, Lord willing, pass that gauntlet of testing on his doctrinal stand. And Brother Abdiel from Spanish Ministry is also going to participate. And so this is what it's all about. We look at these two men that have a yearning to be a part of the ministry, and God has put his hand upon their life and called them, and now the church takes the process of discerning their doctrinal stand and saying, yes, Lord, we want to be a part of these young men's lives, and seeing them sent. Are there more? Are there more? Are there more young men that would say in this missions conference, I want that to be me. I want to take the gospel. I want to go to that distant shore. One of the hardest things for me in going to the mission field is I could go to any of them. My heart's full. It's so moved by all these different places and cultures and people groups. It may be that someone from our very midst in this coming conference says, I'm going to put everything else aside and I'm going to train to go for the Lord, to take the gospel. Had a 46-year-old man come to me, and he's been in secular fields for a number of years, really since high school, had worked his way up through the ranks in the television business. He had done very well. He had risen to plant oversight and had done just wonderfully well in the secular world. And he came to me and he said, Pastor, I know that God has put a burden on my heart to take the gospel to another place. I looked at him and I said, no, that's not true. You're 46. You're ancient. I didn't say that. I'm just kidding. I said, well, amen. Let's start praying. And now that gentleman has been on the field for 13 years. I talked to him just yesterday, and he said, You know, Pastor, I'm seeking to get one more five-year visa that will take me through 65. He said, I don't know if I'll be able to keep up the physical demands of the country that I'm serving in past 65, but at least I'll go and fulfill this next visa. You see, I don't think it's just the youngest in our midst that could be called. I think there's young adults that God could call. I think there's adults that God could call. But our foundation has to be our focus if that's really going to happen. Let me close with one more aspect to this. Would you take your Bibles and go with me to Philippians chapter 4? Philippians chapter 4. Let me ask you this question. Why is it that you don't retire tomorrow? Why is it that you don't? Say, well, Pastor, I don't have enough in my retirement account to retire. Okay, all right. Well, Pastor, I don't want to retire yet because I just feel like there's more that I can do. I feel like there's more that I can do. I just have to stay busy with something. I can't just distance myself altogether. I've got to do something. I've got to stay occupied and everything like this. Many would say that they're not going to retire yet because their funding is not where they want it to be, and they're still continuing to build towards that retirement account. But can I tell you about the best retirement account that's available to everyone tonight? I'm going to give you some financial advice. I did stay at a Holiday Inn Express last night. That's an old commercial, but I thought that was a funny one. Let me give you some great counsel on your investments. We like to use this verse, but truthfully, it's really out of context most of the time that preachers use the verse. In Philippians chapter 4, in verse number 19, the Bible says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Oh, I want to claim that promise. That's wonderful. God will supply all my need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. But would you go back with me and would you see these verses in context? The Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Philippi and he says this, "I can do all things through Christ." Verse number 11, "which strengtheneth me, notwithstanding ye have well done, that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but here it is, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account." Please hear me right now. Would you hear this right now? Everything that we do on behalf of worldwide evangelism is deposited into an account with eternal rewards. Oh, we heard from that missionary, and only two got saved in that time that he was on the field in his last term of service. Two! And then we hear from another, and he says, 1,000 were saved. This is the mutual funds of missions. And so I've got money invested in the Philippines. I have money invested in Tanzania. I have money invested in Thailand. I have money invested in these countries around the globe. And let me tell you something, folks. God's stock is doing great. Every time you and I have the chance to hear from a missionary, we are hearing someone detail our eternal portfolio. Have you been on your portfolio lately? I get one quarterly, and they update, and it says, The market did terrible. You lost 10%. But then comes around another quarter. Hey, the market did great. You gained 12%. Folks, let me just tell you. The Bible says when we're giving through missionaries that are going to preach the truth, we are the ones that are benefited because fruit abounds to our account. Can I tell you, if Pastor Carlos in Santa Maria, Brazil, who was won to Christ and then went and planted a church, and now a building is full of Brazilians that know Christ as their Savior, and more are being saved, and more are being saved. Can I tell you right now, church family, you probably will never meet Pastor Antonio on this side of heaven, but I tell you, he'll be one of the first ones to come up and shake your hand because you gave that Roger Crowder might go and give the gospel, and people believed, and churches were planted. And I'm telling you, our investment is paying off. In one real sense, this should be called a Faith Promise Investment Conference. Because that's what we're doing. Now what? Okay, we've had Resurrection Sunday. We've celebrated the Lord's rising from the dead. That's great. We actually do that every week here at FBT. But the now what is beginning Wednesday night at 7 p.m. when the missionary begins to throw up slides. I know you'll be exhausted. I know it's a tough week. I know traffic doesn't diminish when we reach missions conference. I know it's hard to come in your work clothes with a peanut butter and jelly in your hands, and you're saying to yourself, I'm exhausted. What am I going to get from tonight? And you look at those slides, and you look at those DVD presentations, and the Bible says that fruit abounds to your account. And you can say, I might not have much in my retirement, but I've got a lot laid up in heaven. The now what? Folks, this circle of individuals have preached, and many have believed. And I believe with all my heart it is a great and worthy investment for us as we head into our 2019 Missions Conference.